This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
Whoa. All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boys. It's High Five Tom, and I've got my good friend here, Mr. Slapnuts, over there in the New Hampshire. Mr. Slapnuts, how are you this evening?
It's all about my nuts, Tom, so...
Well, other than that, you did have a big fancy luncheon on Tuesday also.
I had a little luncheon with my store manager and all the other store managers and their stars of the year. It was a good meal. It was a nice little lunch. I was way overdressed. But I was afraid of being the worst dressed person in the room. I mean, there's people there that were just wearing the clothes they wear to work. So I'm like, oh, I guess I could have left the tie in the car.
Yeah. You know me, I probably would have showed up in fucking sandals and fucking shorts anyway. So. What did he do?
I think I can wear shorts at work, but it feels weird to wear shorts in that environment, like in that specific environment. Okay. I used to wear them when I worked in On the Vine. I wore shorts all the time.
Yeah, but you don't have a lot of stuff splashing down like on your legs or anything, right?
No. I mean, now there's...
Like hot stuff.
Yeah, so not right now. I'm not crawling around too much. You know, we got like the oil and all that kind of stuff. But the lunch was good. And I finally got my car inspected today. It passed. So now I'm good for another 9 months till I have to get it inspected again.
Wait, do you have to get inspected every 9 months, or just does it do? It's been so long.
Your birth month.
What's that?
Because for me, it has to be in October.
Okay. You have to get inspected every year?
Yeah, you get car inspection every year.
You got to wear a helmet or wear a
seatbelt. They don't do that in Wisconsin? They don't do that in Wisconsin?
No, it's every couple.
Yeah, Vermont, New Hampshire... Pretty sure Maine too. It's all get inspected every year, Tom.
That's a good question. Now I'm wondering.
Tom's just rolling around, not getting the car inspected, just driving around.
Well, because on Subi, we just had it registered in Idaho till about a year ago. Yeah, because obviously we didn't need any emissions, in Idaho, especially where it was registered. And we just got the we registered the car, I think November 22, and then blew up and missed. Boy, imagine that DMV website's not very fucking.
Site probably hasn't been updated since the 90s.
Yeah, since Al Gore first invented
it. If it's anything like all the sites for stuff over here, Easy Pass website, things barely running it. Things Windows 97.
Wow, Wyoming's got the highest emissions in the country. That surprised me. Or Texas overall. That's per capita. Yeah, the okay. I switch to Wisconsin every other year.
Nice. So, there you go.
Yeah, but that's just the only area too. So that's just Milwaukee County and surrounding areas. So, you know, and our car.
I'm so out of it. I forgot we were recording, and then it's just like, oh yeah.
See up in that upper left hand corner where it says it's recording, Will.
Yeah,
it's been a good week. Yeah, Faith and I had originally Faith had to work on Saturday, so she wasn't be able to go. But then she called me as I was leaving. But we drove all the way up to Pembine, Wisconsin for We Love Wrestling Volume 2. We got up there and we were gonna participate in a seminar with one of the wrestlers, but said wrestler was stuck in O'Hare. So then we had to drive 100 miles down to pick up said, or actually drop Tommy off to go to the airport and then pick said wrestlers up. So all the way up in northern Wisconsin, which is probably pretty similar to northern Maine. It was pretty much the middle of fucking nowhere, but we had a great time though.
Look at you running out and getting the talent.
Yeah. We took former guest of the show, former guest of this show. Mr. Zach Hendricks with us, so that was fun. ICW. And then his cousin-in-law, Bobby. And Bobby just hates seatbelts so much, but our car's so new, obviously it dings whenever someone's got on. So he just, like, put the seatbelt in behind him because he didn't want to wear it. So that was pretty funny. Okay, it's like, wow, Bobby really didn't want to wear a seatbelt. He just clipped it in, and I was like, okay. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't get into an accident. Yeah, it was a good time. Met this new team at CMD. They're out of the New Jersey area, so I told them to check out the Shining Wizards. So yeah.
That's right. Shill.
Hey, you know, I mean, they take good care of us, so and we're about to shit on them here. Well, not
they,
shit.
They keep the lights on.
Yeah, they do help keep the lights on, so. We have to pick on our pod father here, Tony, a little bit. So, you know, as I just gave away one of our questions of dishonor, but yeah, you had a $124 tab at the comic book store, though, huh?
I did. I went last week before the inclement weather, and that was a rounded down number. So I basically left with a book for free.
Oh wow.
With how much they rounded down. So
really?
Is that Roman? Yeah, because it was initially 124 and change and they rounded me down to 120.
Oh nice. Yeah. Is that what kind of math something?
That like where girls justify, girl math is like, I'm going to buy this shirt and I'm going to wear it 70 times. And therefore, it's free.
Oh. Yeah, it's probably pretty similar to that, so.
Like, with your comic book shop, is it like one of those all-purpose ones where they set up games and they have gaming going on there and stuff too? Or?
Yeah, most of them do.
Is it a pretty big shop?
They, what's that?
So it's pretty big, square footage-wise?
They have like a separate room area. Like, okay. their retail space isn't huge. And they've got like the back, they have like the other half of the space is just like a back room where they can have, they have like D&D night for like local kids that want to learn and like get into how to play. And they do like the Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, the Magic tournaments.
So the kids are staying, still playing Magic, huh?
Yeah, despite Wizards of the Coast trying to sink their own ship. Yeah, plenty of people still play Magic.
That's good. So, yeah, there's a shop in West Bend, which is half an hour north of us, and it's a huge fucking retail spot. So, like, they have huge fucking tables for people to play. So, hopefully, and of course, you know, they open, you know, January 2020. So, but they were still up there 2 years ago when I was up there. So, hopefully, you know, they're succeeding. But, yeah, my shop's actually pretty small. I mean, they've got a little couch set up, and they've got a couple guys that go in there pretty regularly and kind of, you know, do their thing and whatnot. So they've got a back room. So I don't know if that's like storage for, or if it's an actual, I'll have to ask. Cause I don't know if it's public or not. So I'll have to check that out sometime. So but yeah, he's got a shit ton of stuff in that little spot though. He doesn't have a rare Spider-Man in the next door, but their sister store down south though. So. Yeah, it's pretty funny. You found a comic book shop that's 6 blocks from my house, so it's funny how
I saw it on the news.
Yeah, it was big news. So, and I'm glad that you read all your Milwaukee Square characters in my voice. That I'm flattered to hear that. So,
yeah, I'd say one of my two favorite series. That I mean, not counting the obvious ones, because obviously a lot of people are talking about like how great Tom King's Wonder Woman was, which is like, well, yeah, it's Tom King writing Wonder Woman. It's going to be a home run. Like, there's a lot of books that came out that were really good, but a lot of them were like, obviously, like, nobody thought Daniel Warren Johnson writing Transformers was going to suck. Like, that's, if anything, that's the thing that people have been like, well, you know what we really need? Because this guy draws Optimus Prime all the time. All the time. It's like, he's going to get his own Transformers book. So when the initially was announced that Transformers and Jack Donaldson was kind of like up for grabs, it's like, man, do we get a Daniel Warren Johnson period? We're like, don't say it, because if we will it and we try to will into it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it happened. But I'd say Knights from Image Comics was one of my favorites, and then Local Man was another one that came out earlier in the year that did the really cool thing where it's like two comics in one. So you start at the front and you read through, and it's like the modern day stuff. And then you have to flip the book upside down and you read it from the other side. And it's like like the 90s style Image Comics, like your Wildcats or whatever, where it's in like that 90s, like X-Men, whatever have you, like art style. And they use it to fill in like the gaps, like the backstory of like stuff they're talking about, like in the modern like setting.
Yeah.
But what they did with it at the end of the 8th issue that just came out was really cool.
Nice.
So I would recommend folks check it out. That's got a trade paperback out now. It's got the first 6, and there's a second one coming out in a couple months. It's going to have issues. No, the first one's going to have 1 through 5. I think the second one's got 6 through 9 plus Local Man Gold, which is like a one shot annual thing they put out.
Hmm. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I gotta start saving my ducats here. I think I'm gonna be one of those. What do they call like the where they pull the thing every month? It's a
You got your pull box where they
yeah.
where you can be like me and have a stack come in 1 week where the owner of the store says, "Hey, are you okay?"
That was really sweet though. I mean, obviously, he
I mean,
wants.
that was, I mean, there was a lot, and like I went through because there was like I read Benjamin Percy, who has written some stuff that I like did a run for. I don't remember who the actual publisher is it, but it was Predator versus Wolverine. I'm
Oh,
pretty sure that's done. That was just 4 issues, but like in that picture I sent you, there was like 5 copies of Predator versus Wolverine because it was all the different covers. So like I had to pick of which cover I wanted. So I mean that you go through stuff like that and you start kind of cutting out chunks of the stacks and stuff that I've already picked up before. Stuff that's like there was a copy of Knights number 4 and a copy of Knights number 1. It's like, well, I'm up to 4, so I don't need Knights number 1. I already have Knights. You guys already gave me Knights number 1 4 months ago.
Yeah, I'll have to reach out to my coworker Doug at the Brewers, who does all the comic books. He friends me, but yeah, I'm just trying to get him on. Let you guys kind of do your thing. So, kind of do an
There's a
interview.
lot, there's a lot of good stuff out there. It's
Yeah.
kind of like music. It's impossible to keep up. Like, there's no way you're ever going to have time to read everything.
No.
I mean, as it is, I started reading. I got this from Walmart and I ordered volume 2 online today. But this series called Berserk. So this has 4 of like the normal size volumes in it. There's 13 of these deluxe hardcovers.
Wait,
And
different ones, or are they only printed 13 of them?
no, there's like 13 volumes this size.
Okay, I was gonna say you've got one of 13. I was like,
Like this is I'm not doing good with moving with the camera. Like this is
that's a big fucking
a good
book.
sized book. And the end of the series, so it's done because the creator died, but the story wasn't done. So like his best friend basically finished off the story the way he knew that like what the planned ending was.
Yeah. That's
But
fine.
there's, again, that's, it's another thing. This isn't new. I mean, it wrapped up in 2021 when the guy passed away. I mean, 13, like I read this in probably a little over an hour because there's a lot of like big splash pages and there's not a lot of dialogue. So you can kind of just, it's, you can just kind of read
Right.
through all the fight scenes and whatnot. But still, I mean, that's a lot of paper to read.
Yeah. That's a big fucking
And
volume.
there's always new stuff. And there's like there's constantly new stuff coming out where it's like that sounds cool. There's a Zorro book that just came out and it's like, I don't think about Zorro at all, but that now that I know there's a Zorro book out, I kind of want to read that now.
Yeah.
On top of just all the other like I'll say my other big one that if people haven't checked that I'm loving is it's called Wesley Dodd's Sandman. Which gets tricky because it's being put out by DC, but so is the Sandman, like the Neil Gaiman Sandman, is also being put out by DC. So if you search it, you have to look for Wesley Dodd's Sandman. That's more of like a noir style vigilante thing where like he wears a gas mask and stuff like that. And there's the 4th issue is coming out, and that's been a lot of fun to read. But DC puts out all their normal stuff, and they're like, we're gonna do like these three golden age superhero comics. We're gonna do a Green Lantern, a Flash, and this Wesley Dodd Sandman. And they're all really good.
Yeah,
it's like anything, like the caliber of talent out there. And some people put out just so many titles at once. Like I mentioned Tom King earlier. I mean, he's got like 4 or 5 easy, maybe even more than that, series that are all coming out concurrently for different publishers. It's like, it's all good.
That's awesome.
Read something. Go to a library and get a book. I did that this week too. I returned my overdue library materials.
Good job. Yay! Money for the library.
Yeah, we like overdue books because we like giving the library money, but like half time we're like, oh, I don't worry about the fine. I'm like, no, I'm trying to give you money. I'll give you more. I mean, you can double it. I don't care.
I feel like you could probably just make a donation.
Yeah, if we do that. I mean, I always go in there. I don't go to our library as much as we used to. I don't know. Well, that's because I've been so wrapped up. But yeah, I always try to buy a couple. I think I've talked about this on the podcast. But what we do is we just buy books to the library, so you get the library money, and then we pass them out in the little libraries in the neighborhood. Right now, we've got probably, 15 books in our car waiting to pass throughout the neighborhood, because our local books, there's a couple right here on our block that we like to support, have been full, so I don't mind paying a fine.
If people have never gone to one, if their local library does like a book sale, you can get a lot of stuff. And they usually just say buy the bags worth. So if you bring a big reusable tote, that's a bag.
Yeah. Yeah, ours does one semi-annually. Yeah, and it's the same thing. Friday, Saturday, it's home quotes a regular price. And then they just want to get rid of stuff come Sunday. So they bring in a paper bag for like $1. Last time I picked up this book, Killing Pablo. It's about the killing of Pablo Escobar. I've been looking for that book for a while. Where's my taco Tuesday, though? Yeah, I'm just well, it's about to get a shit ton bigger, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's both to explore right now for my to read list. So, but I'm halfway done through the end of the last Dark Tower series book. Will, the series proper is 4,000 pages, but I'll have to check how many pages all the books are read before it, because there's like 6 ancillary books that you should really read beforehand, and I read those too because I'm a fucking dork. Yeah, a little under 2.5 years. Yeah, because the standalone is 11,000 pages. And Wi-Fi. I read that book in like 2.5-3 weeks.
Coke's a hell of a drug, you know?
Yeah. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. So a lot of reading going on here, Will. But rumor has it we have a couple of spectacular questions of dishonor from our
that's right. This is a wrestling podcast.
This is a wrestling. Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, it's our podcast. We'll do whatever the fuck we want. So,
I'm gonna get plugged, and I made sure to include all the information for the show. So I mentioned him last week, and I mentioned him on there before. But my friends from the internet who were do a show called None of My Friends Like Comics is going to be recorded a plug for me because they joined their Patreon. That's going to come out in their next episode.
Nice.
So they do. The idea is, it's kind of funny how similar these two shows are. Because the idea is they're supposed to bring on people who don't read comic books, but all their guests they bring on usually are comic book fans already. And they ask them, oh, if you read this, would you pull it or would you drop it? So I'm like, you know, it's funny, like, oh, what's your show to him? Like, that's actually kind of similar to what you guys do.
Well, it's funny. I was like, wait, so do they talk wrestling for an hour and then talk about comic books for the last half of the show?
No, they are a bit better about sticking, staying on topic, but.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, I mean, we get a lot of good feedback on this style. So, yeah, if you want to send me that link too, I'd be more than happy to share it in the notes, you know.
We do what Tom wants, and I derail it further.
It goes both.
There are no rails. It's like the Event Horizon. Where we're going, we don't need rails.
Never seen that movie.
You've never seen Event Horizon?
No.
Oh, you should.
You know what movie I have seen, Will?
The Mist. I mean, you've seen a lot of movies.
I have seen a lot of movies. On my list here, I think I've watched 435 different movies since September of 2016.
It's a lot of movies.
Not really, if you think about it. I mean, that's only 70. It's like one a week.
That's, for me, that's a lot.
Hmm.
I have a lot of friends that do like that. I watch a movie every day. It's like, I can't give a movie a day.
Yeah. Like, unless, in my defense, too, it's the working from home. So, I mean, I'll throw on a movie while I'm working, you know. But if it's really good, like the Disney's The Punisher, goddamn, that fucking series is intense.
I haven't watched yet. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really, really like John Bernthal. Like, I texted you and Brendan too. Listen, you should probably watch The Wire, and then there's a show on, like, takes place like 10 years later, but it's all true. Called We Own the City, where John Bernthal is a Baltimore PD police officer, and we'll just say that. So, but it's cool because you bring back a lot of characters from The Wire too, as you know, like different people. So it's kind of cool to see those guys. One of the kids is from Tremé. It's cool to see him as a different actor or in a different role. So, yeah, lots of good shit. So, all
right, Tom, what question do you want to start with?
Let's do Rob's first.
Do we want to? Does Rob run the other account too, or is that the other fella?
You know, I think it's both him and Dan, but we can give Rob credit. But I know most of the
high. I mean, right? No, nobody signed off on it, so.
Knowing the style of question, I'm assuming it's probably Rob, future guest of this show. Rob, I will reach out to you. We'll figure something out. I'll get you out for a watch along or something. But wrapped
up. So Rob from the – oh, they wrapped up?
They wrapped up season one of Unstacking the Territory as they go towards Giant Haystacks and Big Daddy's big Wembley event. So
you know, we're – never mind. I'll derail this later. So Rob, from his UTT Rob account, asks, as the last real man, Silas Young, was on episode 1.106 and a lot of other episodes, and a lot of other episodes going forward, too.
Yeah.
His question of Dishonor is, how long would Silas Young survive during a zombie apocalypse?
I mean,
you know, he's a real man, right? So he knows how to chop wood. He knows how to do electrical work. He's also kind of an asshole, so he might just get thrown out because people are sick of dealing with him. But he's in theory, going to be a handy person to have around.
I mean, you know, yeah. Well, I don't want to make assumptions, Will, but have you seen Zombieland?
I have. I like that movie quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, that movie's fucking great. I mean, tell me Silas Young could not have fit perfectly in that Woody Harrelson to a T. You know, a man's man, a guy that likes Twinkies, you know, pretty much an asshole, you know, the lone wolf, and, you know, Woody Harrelson survived. He did survive in 2012, but that's another movie in itself. It's foreshadowing. He clicks all the boxes. I mean, he, like, Wilson, he can cut wood. You know, he can probably trap animals with his bare hands. You know, he's not going to freeze to death with that mustache. He doesn't like to shake people's hands, so he's not going to, you know, he's not going to be suckered by a zombie. You know, he being from Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin, I can almost bet he probably knows how to shoot a gun pretty well.
The terrain probably would help you last a little longer too.
Yeah. You know, so I could see him just kind of, you know, hanging out in the woods, you know, and like I said, there are some pretty rural parts of here in Wisconsin. You know, Faith and I were just in one, you know, this past weekend. We're very fortunate. We've got a lot of green spaces, so hopefully we get to see more of those. But, you know, I don't know about you, Will, but I think Silas does very, very well in apocalypse, zombie apocalypse. And in a weird way, I bet you he'd almost fucking thrive for it.
Right, because in theory, he'd be by himself. He couldn't be happier.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see even Silas doing some, you know, some shady shit to kind of, you know, itch it along. You know, so, yeah. I mean, Silas would have been great. Watching Silas Young hang out with Bill Murray would have been fucking just money. So.
And we also have potentially from Rob from the Unbooking the Tankatory account with all the Tank Abbott chat from the ROH Dragon Gate show, which you can go back in the feed from Visionaries Global Media and Shining Wizards Network and tune in. I was there despite my internet connection proving otherwise. I was in the room. The question of Tank Honor, we all know if dragons were real, Tank Abbott would have captured at least one. But what Ring of Honor 2013 star would he pay to paint the dragon's cage?
And, like, I don't know, man. Tank Abbott, I don't think he would just have one. I mean, I could see Tank Abbott kind of having his own.
That's what I'm saying. He'd have caught at least one.
At least one, yeah. I mean, definitely. That's, I mean, even Money's saying that. And real quick, I just want to say, I know there's a lot of people listening to the show that do follow on Tanking the Territory on Twitter. But if you're not, make sure you stop what you're doing. Plus stop, get on the Twitter machine and make sure you're following it. Because, yeah, the tank hashtag tank facts daily are fucking money. I will just say that. But what Ring of Honor superstar is going to take Tank Abbott's fleet of dragons for their cages? Can you put a dragon in a cage? I mean, that would be a big fucking cage. But, I mean, I guess you got to do something.
We put elephant. Sea creatures in kiddie pools, basically. So, I mean.
That's true.
I mean, I feel like if you want the artistic flair, right, you got to get a Jimmy Jacobs, and he's small enough.
Yeah.
That he could probably avoid detection while it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, and they, you know, obviously,
and that's where we're assuming that these are like big dragons. You know, these could all just be like Mushu dragons,
Mushu.
Like from Mulan, be little like handheld sized critters.
Have you seen Mulan?
I don't think I've seen Mulan.
He doesn't know what you're talking about,
Will. Oh. Well, Tom, have you seen Reign of Fire?
No.
That's another treat. So it's a post-apocalypse, but the apocalypse is they find dragons in like the New York City subways, and dragons take over the world, basically.
Oh, really?
It's got Gerard Butler's in it. Matthew McConaughey's in it.
Matthew McConaughey's also in the Dark Tower movie, and that movie just sucks the dick. And not in a good way.
I gotta say, it's one of those movies where it's like, I don't know who came up with this idea. I can't say it's a great movie, but I watched it a couple years ago, just on a whim, because it was there. I'm like, wow. I saw this when it came out. But, that's an interesting movie.
Did you watch
it? What's that?
You watch it in the movie theater?
Pay-per-view.
Nice. That
when,
sounds
when
like
that was the thing to do with to get the movie on pay-per-view.
Oh, that actually sounds like something. What's the name of it?
Reign of Fire.
That's obviously REIGN.
Yes. Well, I watched it on Prime. It's probably still there.
I bet you like in about 5, 10 years, that kind of sounds like one of those like cult classic kind of movies. Where, like people didn't really appreciate it.
Came out in 2002.
Oh, really?
If you're into this kind of stuff, it's got a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb and a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. But a 92% on Just Watch. Budget of 60 million, box office of 82.2.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Christian Bale was in it too.
Yeah, the name rings a bell. It's on Prime Video, but you gotta rent it.
Oh, so it's not just up for the streaming anymore.
But I mean, you know.
So your top billed cast is Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale, and Gerard Butler.
In present day London, 12-year-old Quinn watches his mother wakes and his mother wakes an enormous fire-breathing beast from a centuries-long slumber. 20 years later, much of the world has been scarred by the beast and its offspring. As a fire chief, go figure. Quinn,
There it is.
Bale is responsible for warding off the beast and keeping community alive as they eke out a meager existence. Into their midst comes a hotshot American, Van Zandt. Matthew McConaughey says he had ways to kill the beast. Dude, totally. Silas would be fucking perfect in this movie.
Matthew McConaughey has like, he looks like Ray Rowe. Like, he's got the shaved head, and they give him like the long beard. He's got the southern drawl because he's supposed to be from Kentucky.
Yeah, that sounds. Oh, it might be on Disney Plus.
There you go. If you want to kill a few brain cells watching that, you go right ahead.
It sounds like something totally up my alley. Right now on Disney Plus, I'm watching The Punisher, which fucking dope. So, all right, so Jimmy Jacobs is an obvious answer. Like, do you think we're getting creative with these painting of the dragon gate or cages, or are we just talking about, okay, it's not on Disney Plus. All right. The internet library.
It just as painting the cage.
If we're getting all artsy with it, definitely Jimmy Jacobs. I mean, faux show. Well, once again, I know, I mean, obviously 6,000 times he is part of our question of dishonor, but I could see Mark Briscoe having the ability to paint it, especially if Tank's got a shit ton of fucking dragons and he needs to get a lot of them done quick.
Right, Mark's not gonna be afraid. He's gonna slap it on the nose if it gets too close. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's painted a chicken coop for 6,000 in his day, so.
He probably, he's got the whitewash down.
Look at Jimmy Jacobs, Mark Briscoe. And I'm gonna say Matt Damon. Because I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody from George Lynch's from Dokken. They did one of those Where Are You Now rocker things, and he was painting billboards. So I'm seeing Matt Taven as an old washed up rocker glamour guy that didn't really kind of adjust his lifestyle.
So not as community service.
I knew. Yeah, I had a friend of mine that had to come. He had to paint all the posts at the firehouse for community service. So so I'm gonna go Jimmy Jacobs for the artsy. And then Mark Briscoe or Matt Taven, just for guys that can, do some painting. So, yeah, these small little dragons like this Mushu character person, and he's got a shit ton of them. But I'm thinking, take,
Right.
I mean, he's got a big fucking fleet of,
Right, we're talking big, the big ones. Like the Game of Thrones dragons, biggins.
So. But thank you, Rob. Make sure you are checking out their first season there on Stacking Territory. Make sure you're following Untaking the Territory. They're on the Twitter machine. Yeah, and as always, thank you for the questions of dishonor. And Will, I think we've got one more question of dishonor. Dude, that comes through really good now with your new setup, by the way.
So, Tom, are you ready to tell us? Do you have a scum tattoo or is it a house of torture tattoo?
Well, the scum tattoo's on my ass. But you
Because
got plenty.
Brendan's question for this week was our favorite wrestling faction all time, besides scum.
And house torture.
That's your own words.
But in real quick, so Brennan's answer is all right. I decided to break down my factions to a few different feds. First is WWE Straight Edge Society. I was a huge mark for Punk and absolutely loved him as a cult leader. Gallows was badass too. TNA, Triple X, Daniel, Low-Ki, and Skipper. Wow, Jesus, that does sound fucking fun. We're fucking great together. Eli Skipper, super underrated, by the way. This could have been so much more if they weren't in Japan at different times all the time. Ring of Honor, Generation Next. In one night, they got over huge and felt like they'd been together for years. I launched four career sky high. ECW, the triple threat, specifically Bigelow, Douglas, and Candido, three of the best at the time. So. I'm gonna do my favorite faction of all time, and then I'm gonna try and think of one from my probably what's I know what your favorite Ring of Honor faction of all time is, Will, I'm assuming.
All time. We didn't have to necessarily be a Ring of Honor faction.
No, but all time, my favorite faction. Like I said, I have this tattooed on my calf of my leg, and I which is ironic, because I know where this question is spurned from. Because Tony of the Shining Wizards doesn't think anyone should ever copy this faction ever again. But yeah, mine was the Four Horsemen. And the funny thing,
You have a Four Horsemen tattoo?
I do actually. Yes, I'm my calf. So yeah, I'll faith take a picture of
Is,
the
do,
thing.
you have, do you have the words Four Horsemen, or is it just like the four hand sign?
Number four, and then I got mine and my three buddies' initials on it because Tony, this is really gonna make Tony mad too. We used to call ourselves the Four Horsemen,
Oh, gimmick infringement, eh?
yeah. I mean, that's really how we rolled. So, yeah, I mean, they were just, and the funny thing was, like, back when they were really going, I didn't get to watch them much at all. My babysitter had cable, so they had TBS. But it was all from reading in the magazines. So all you just heard was the Four Horsemen beating up this guy, the Four Horsemen beating up that guy, and they're fucking perfect. I mean, besides the Hart Foundation, the Brainbusters slash Tully and Arn were one of my favorite tag teams of all time, and they really didn't have that long of a run. But and like much to Tony's chagrin, obviously listen, it's been duplicated, throughout history, so. Well, what's your favorite faction of all the times?
Favorite faction of all time. I mean, if we're talking Ring of Honor, it's obviously the Foundation. But for all time, I might be willing to throw out a Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Oh, really? Still going strong today. Stronger than ever, probably.
They are. It's still going. Because it's like, I don't feel like the United Empire is really good too. Chaos just feels like the one that everybody else goes to if you're not already like in a
Impact.
faction.
I can't just, they're not really.
They don't seem to have the camaraderie like the just four guys or five guys. Do they have five guys again?
Yeah, they went back to five. Ah, shit. Was it you or Mora that joined?
That sounds right.
Yeah, which
I
is,
mean, Suzuki Goon was a fire faction too, but that is no more.
You know, and New Japan really has a stranglehold on factions and stables in general. I'm assuming, Will, that you saw that speaking of United Empire, that New Japan's going to have their first cage match in like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be Bullet Club War Dogs versus United Empire. So, very excited for that. So, let me catch up on my World Tag League. Yeah, I mean, United Empire is my favorite faction going right now. And if it wasn't for Jeff Cobb, Team DK would be a very short second. I love that faction.
TMDK has made big steps the last, probably like what we would say, like the last year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, obviously adding, you know, the second best wrestler, you know, in the world. And like I said, now without, and obviously it's the Ring of Honor podcast from 10 years ago, but I'm just going to pivot real quick. But honestly, with Will Ospreay going to AEW, Zack Sabre Jr. really has the chance to take over that best wrestler in the world status. You know, I can't imagine Tony Khan cannon. You know, honestly, Will Ospreay probably going to AEW is he probably wants to slow down a little bit. I mean, he's still pretty fucking young, but I mean, he's filled up a few fucking bump cards. You know, so yeah, I think it's DSJ's time. I think he's the one that takes the belt off Naito.
I mean, who knows? He just dropped his belt to Tanahashi.
That was the only thing that the only blemish on Wrestle Kingdom for me as well.
The only blemish.
I thought so. Yeah, I mean, House Torture came in and fucked things up, and it ended up pretty cool. So, I'm trying to think, Ring of Honor stables. I obviously got the foundation.
What was that druggy faction called?
Special K.
I wanted to say Special K, but I didn't remember if Special K was just one of the people in the group.
Yep, no, the whole group is shout out to Kyle. You know, we were able to guest on his show because I've been catching up on his, and Special K is still in 2003 is very, very prevalent in Ring of Honor. I mean, the WWF doesn't really do stables when I was watching. You know, it was Generation X.
Like, that's the thing. Like, their factions is pretty, it's like, it's Triple H, right? So it's D-Generation X, Evolution.
Yeah, the only other one before that when I was really watching was the Heenan family, which is fucking awesome. I mean, everybody went through the fucking Heenan family.
I mean, the Dudleys could say were faction ECW, right? Because there was like six of them, seven of them.
Sign Guy Dudley, Big Dick Dudley. Obviously, Bubba Ray Devon, Spike. There's at least one more. Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think. The Heenan family, I mean, growing up as a kid, you know, and the Four Horsemen were running wild. The Dangerous Alliance in WCW with Paulie Dangerously, I think Rick Rude was in that. But Stone Cold, or actually wasn't Stone Cold. He was still Stunning Steve Austin. Gosh, yeah, so WWE, and then Ring of Honor. I mean, obviously the Bullet Club was a lot of fun. You know, in Ring of Honor, the foundation. I mean, yeah, the Righteous. I have my space. Obviously, we'll see how the decade turns out here. So, well, I just can't think of any Ring of Honor factions all of a sudden.
I feel like a lot of them kind of came in towards that end, where you had Violence is Forever, and you had the Foundation, you had the Righteous, you had. The Foundation's the only one that mattered. But I mean, speaking of Bullet Club, we're gonna. Oh, it gets mentioned on commentary in this episode. AJ Styles gonna be on Ring of Honor TV.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're about a year into the original formation of the Bullet Club at this point too. So, yeah. But Brendan, as always, thank you for the question and obviously the answer. Will, is there any other stables you want to shout out here before we jump into TV?
The LWO.
Is there any chance speaking of LIJ, is there any chance Andrade is going to show up in Japan for a little while?
That'd be cool. I don't see it happen.
I don't either.
I see Andrade going back to the E. Getting that WWE paycheck, being with his wife, right? They're married?
I'm pretty sure they're married, yeah. Yeah, we shall see. So, I also love how Tony Khan got Jinder Mahal over this week, but we won't get into any Twitter bullshit. But real quick here, before we get into Ring of Honor TV episode 121, I'll just take a time to plug all of our networks here. So real quick, obviously, Will said earlier, shout out to Visionaries Global Media. Chad Deagle doing your weekly view from the top of the goalpost. Matt Graham and Nishkai. Ryan, I hope you're feeling better. I know you had some ocular surgery this week. So hope things are all better. And that dude is rocking a huge fucking beard. My compliments to Nishkai's beard, by the way. But obviously, Zach, JCB, and Bill over at Band from Ringside. I'm hoping we get some new Brainbuster Boys action going on here. Big week on the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. I had my results for Love Wrestling Volume 2. But yeah, make sure you enjoy all these great shows here on The Shining Wizards. And Will and I will see you on the other side of the break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, Be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Whoa. All right, like I said, make sure you join all the great shows there on the Shining Wizards Network. But Will, we've got Ring of Honor TV episode 121, original air date January 11th, 2014, emanating from the Nashville Fairgrounds, I think. That sounded about right. It sounds like a building with some history, so. And real quick, before we get into the episode, you know, you and I kind of discussed over text message. So you really think that the new look, quote unquote, was because of the venue? Because Ring of Honor does go through rather drastic, like, production coming up soon.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, we had a couple moments during the last year where it's like, wow, this looks way better. It was just they're in, like, that one room, and then it goes back to being like, oh.
Yeah. But this one just seemed like it was lit different in general. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, the lighting was great. You could actually see everybody.
Yeah, well, a little bit of microphone issues. But, yeah, because the only reason I know this is because, once again, when Jay passed away, which we're actually coming up on the one-year anniversary, you know, I think it was Tim and Cole, I think it's Final Battle 2015, but then they're doing all the fancy, like, camera booms and everything. So it was, like, a really weird – so we'll see what happens, but – but yeah, a quick recap of Final Battle. The main event, you know, where Matt Hardy helped Adam Cole win, and then we get Chris Hero's return, and then we cut the Kevin Kelly, Carino, and Prince Nana because we got some top prospect tournaments. They talk, you know, how Hero's gunning for Cole, Jay Briscoe's gunning for Cole, but also, like Will had said, returning to Ring of Honor since I don't know how long he's been gone. In 3 weeks, AJ fucking Styles. So they're coming off fucking shooting here for 2014.
I mean, Steve Corino says he thinks that AJ Styles, he's pretty good.
Not bad.
You could say retrospectively, he could be phenomenal.
Could be the phenomenal one, so. That'll be interesting. So we'll kind of see where AJ fits in. I don't think they announced a match for him yet. Will, listen.
No, but they said that he wants to come in and have some momentum. So he's going to come in and win some matches.
Yeah, and we've been mentioning this for a couple weeks, but the first match of the top prospect tournament. And real quick, I'm going to pull up here. I actually stopped it. So it's an 8-man tournament this year. And so the first match here, we get Kongo versus Raymond Rowe. But Bill Daly versus Corey Hollis. Then Andrew Everett, who's actually really fucking good, versus Romantic Touch. And then Hansen versus Cheeseburger. That last match, wow. Can you say difference of styles? But
styles make matches, Tom.
Yeah, Will, I'm not going to ask you for any predictions because we already know it's
what's going to happen here, but we're going to enjoy it.
I'll tell you, the winner's a man.
Shit, really, Will? You got a fucking snub skin. But first, Ring of Honor Revelry, soon to be favorite son, Raymond Rowe taking on Kongo, who's from, so they just say he's from South America. I'm like, really? You can't at least give this guy a fucking country? Like, just South America. It's a big fucking continent. It's got millions of people with several countries, and it's beautiful.
He looks like he eats enough for a million people.
He does look like, I'm not a fan of Kongo, nothing personal.
Yeah, we've seen Kongo before. He wasn't impressive then. He's not impressive now.
No, I mean, he is fighting Raymond Rowe. And we're big fans, like I said. You know, and Steve Carino is very huge on Raymond Rowe. So he's fighting a man with nothing to lose. Steve Carino pops Kevin Kelly saying he won this tournament back in 1995. And Kevin Kelly's like, Ring of Honor started. And he's like, oh, never mind. They remind us that, you know, Matt Taven won this last year. And then he turned out to be the longest TV champion ever. So making stars right in front of our eyes. But Kongo got some moves in. But at the end of the day, I don't know what you call it, but Raymond Rowe hits that full Nelson into the
media. That's the thing. There's what the move is supposed to be. And there's what Kongo actually can, like, get his fat ass up off the ground for. So it's supposed to be, like, a full Nelson slam, but you kind of, like, throw them into, like, a knee. But you can't quite get Kongo up that much, so it looks like he kind of just, like, goes from a full Nelson, kind of, like, jumps with him a little bit and, like, kind of hits him with a knee.
Yeah, but Raymond Rowe's going on, but, I mean, I personally thought Kongo was a good opponent for Rowe for his first match because Rowe got to show off some of his awesome offense because he's a big dude, you know. But, yeah, he pretty much –
Kongo's the best we could find. We couldn't pull in somebody else.
I mean, they're trying to go international. He's from South America. Oh, God, that pissed me off.
We couldn't have used Mike Posey. Couldn't use ACH.
Well, at least, I don't know. Once you're in the tournament, I don't know if you can go back in. He can only be a top prospect in the tournament once, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Was Mike Posey already?
No, but ACH was.
Oh, ACH was.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Mike Posey, and I won't give a shit about Mike. Well, I shouldn't say that.
WWE referee Mike Posey.
But after the match,
Michael Elgin comes out. Kongo doesn't leave the ring, and then we get the shittiest power bomb. Like, there's the doggy diarrhea. Because Kongo sucks. Where Elgin, like, has his arm, like, he's got the arms, like, crisscrossed. And he, like, picks him up and he just kind of, like, drops him. Because this dude cannot do anything to, like, actually, like, help.
Yeah.
So he's kind of gets dropped, and Elgin is on the mic saying such wonderful lines like, what Michael Elgin wants, he takes. And it's like, you know, I don't like that.
Consent is sexy.
Yeah. I could see Michael Elgin being like an 80s bad guy for like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he says lots of words. He reminds Adam Cole that Elgin's coming from him. Elgin had the best record in the ring. He doesn't give a shit that Chris Hero's back. He doesn't give a shit about Jay. He doesn't give a shit AJ's coming back. It's just three people in Elgin's way. But
he really stepped on it, but the crowd did react big when he said Chris Hero.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like squash it. It's like, I don't know if that was a really good move on his part or if that was like a you squash, like you should have let them like get riled up about it. But
yeah, it's but and then he just says this, there can be three people in Elgin's way. But Will, it looks like we're getting Michael Elgin and Chris Hero teaming up in Pittsburgh against Matt Hardy and Adam Cole. I think that's our next event, I think. I'll have to double check. The Kevin Steen comes out, you know, and yeah, I mean, shit, it's only been 9 fucking months and he hasn't gotten his fucking rematch yet. What is Ring of Honor doing? But he welcomes Cyril back. You know, he says he's been gone for 2 years, but he looks good. I did not actually catch this the first time I watched it. But then he says, you know, all you're going to say is, oh, no, Kevin Steen kicked my – or he said, no, Steen kicked my mat or kicked my ass. He's like, oh, no. And then he dropped it and walked off. Did you catch the oh, no part?
I didn't. And Chris Hero came out too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. So he was talking to Chris Hero.
Yeah, we didn't say Chris Hero came out.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Chris Hero came out, said some words. Whatnot, but
right, he is the old Ring of Honor. Are you happy to see me?
And they were. Chris Hero down to 240 pounds, by the way. But it's gonna be Kevin Steen versus Chris Hero, formerly known as Cassius Ohno. Yeah, so I just thought that I didn't catch that at first. Steve's like going to Chris Hero, he's like, oh yeah, all you're gonna say at the end of the match is, oh, Kevin Steen kicked or Kevin Steen kicked my ass. Oh no. I don't know. I thought that was great.
Kevin Steen is great.
He is good. So I'm assuming Cassius Ohno didn't have a great run initially in NXT.
Neither times, no.
He did all right the second time around. He had some decent matches, but
it was all right.
Even though he got demolished. Did he get demolished by somebody opening an NXT takeover? But next, well, who the fuck is the benchmark Billy Daly? Did you get a chance to do any research on this fucking Jagoff?
Sure didn't. Couldn't care. I'm not as invested in this top prospect tournament since I already know the ending. And it's kind of telegraphed when you see the list of people who are there.
Yeah, there's 4 really good wrestlers, and then there's, well, I mean, there's 3 really good wrestlers and a good wrestler and a shitty gimmick.
Because, I mean, as good as Cheeseburger will be, we're still at Cheeseburger who dresses like a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
We're not he's got Jushin Liger's palm strike cheeseburger. So this schmuck comes out and says, you know, I've got a, what is he, like a high ankle sprain or something like that. It says that he's been advised to forfeit from the tournament because it's already a foregone conclusion that he's the top prospect and he should just be given the TV title shot.
Yeah, Bill Daly didn't get his last match was July 2016. Yeah, he did. I guess he's in a dark match. Oh, yeah, so I guess they were the dark match at Final Battle. It was Brutal Burgers defeated Team Benchmark, Billy Daly and Will Ferrara.
Oh, little Will.
And then,
and Brutal Burgers. We haven't officially seen that team debut yet.
Yeah, he's only got 31 matches on Cage Match. So, I don't give a shit about the Benchmark.
So, he was supposed to wrestle the one that's not Mike Posey from Alabama Attitude.
Yeah.
And Mike Posey says, well, we all know that I know you don't want to get the win like this. But then commentary points out, it's like, is this for the spot of the tournament? Is this just an exhibition match? Is this just, we really didn't need this match. We could have given a couple other things a little more time to breathe. Because we said, It felt like a little too much to try to squeeze into an hour.
Yeah, they did shoehorn. That's what I'm kind of like with this tournament. Hopefully they're not going to keep shoehorning it. But I mean, for what they did, I mean, these guys can really go. I mean, they put on a decent match for the 5 minutes they were on, you know, and then obviously in the end, Hollis hits that back, you know, Chris Jericho elbow, knocks out Posey. So he's officially in the second round, I guess.
Yeah. He moves on to face Ray Rowe.
Yeah, it was just an awkward promo from Mike Posey, and just kind of, you know, but it is what it is. But next, we get a quick recap of CNC Factory, Wrestling Factory splitting up. But Will, we're getting a solo match of Caprice Coleman versus Jay Lethal. And this is kind of a surprise. I was like, interesting. All right.
I would say, well, it's not a surprise that it was good.
No.
It was very good.
Yeah, these two have a lot of chemistry. Obviously, this would have been nice, you know, if they had given this match another 5 minutes. You know, if they had done three matches this week instead of four. But yeah, I mean, Jay did a great job of putting over Caprice. You know, we're going to see a good run out of Caprice, hopefully, here going forward. And then, you know, Jay Lethal thanks him and says, I underestimated you. You did a great job, and I'll get the fuck out of my ring. And basically, he's coming for Ciampa. You know, last time him and Ciampa wrestled, he injured him, and he's been out for forever. And Jay Lethal will be on commentary because, Will, speaking of questions of Dishonor, Alice Young versus Tommaso Ciampa for the new title next week.
But Carino says there's not a third chair, so Jay Lethal can't come sit down.
We'll figure. I'm sure I'll make some Jay Lethal mom crap, so we'll definitely see what happens there. But any real thoughts on the match? Obviously, you know, Jay wins with the, you know, the lethal injection at the end, but, you know, so it was yeah, not surprising that this was really good, but.
No, I like the illusions. Like, they talked about, like, you know, Caprice is used to being a tag wrestler at this point. Jay is accustomed to wrestling as a singles. The allusion to Eddie Edwards, because Steve Carino's like, you can say it. And Kevin Kelly is like, no, I can't say it. That was the thing for the other guy.
I didn't even catch that part, so that's funny. The soaring and scoring.
Because Kevin Kelly retired the soaring and scoring because Eddie Edwards ain't there.
Because he did it for Lethal, too. But then real quick, like I mentioned earlier, Jay's passing anniversary is coming up. But a couple quick promo on Adam Cole. You know, Adam Cole ain't shit. He ain't never beat Jay. But I guess next week, Will, too, we're getting Cole and Jay for the real world title on TV. So they're packing a lot into this this national thing. But then our main event, we get Kevin Steen versus Chris Hero. Starts off with some actual sportsmanship. So these two actually do some tit for tat wrestling here. You know, Chris Hero is really good. So hopefully
they're both really good.
Yeah. You know, and obviously Steve Carino thinks that Steen should be suspended for pile driving Maria. You know, and well, like I said in my notes here, these two are literally showing why they're two of the best in the world at the time. I don't know if you noticed it, Will, but at one point in the match, there's this big Bales Bondsman sign, like advertising one of the sponsors there at the Nashville County Fairgrounds. And the slogan on there is "You Ring, We Spring." I thought that was pretty funny because I just watched the movie Jackie Brown recently too, so I thought it was funny. So, but fun match. But yeah, the Decade shows up once again. And they distract, you know, Chris Hero because they're pissed off. They've been Ring of Honor for since the beginning, and they're not getting these opportunities. And these new guys just come in and take all the spots. But then Steen hits that super fucking sweet sleeper suplex, and Chris Hero takes the pin in his first match back.
Steen kicked out of the elbow.
Yeah. Steen don't fuck around, so. Yeah, so we'll see if Kevin Steen gets that rematch, and then
Steen, you know, don't fuck around, and you know what else is Cliff don't surf.
He did, yeah. So as Kevin Steen's going with it back, feeling like he's unscathed, untouched by the Decade, but Cliff Compton's back. That was a fun spot too. I went back and rewatched that, kind of watch him fly through the crowd, but yeah, Cliff Compton, you know, chokes him out with a chain. You know, and the crowd loses it, and then we go Metallica, Fade to Black. So I guess Cliff Compton's back in Ring of Honor, maybe.
Cliff Compton's back, and he's got beef with Kevin Steen.
I mean, he ain't no scum punk. He ain't gonna let this abide. So that should be fun. But so those guys,
and just like that, all of scum is back in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Except for Jimmy Rave.
Yeah. 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 Fuck, you're right. Especially the top prospect tournament. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know who the romantic touch is on.
Yes, yes, I know that now. At the time, I didn't. But yeah. I never saw Red Titus. I had seen him initially as the romantic touch.
Oh, so you saw the romantic touch first and then Red Titus?
Yes.
Nice. Well, yeah, Red and really recovering from that All Night Express breakup, so... I guess we'll see you when Kenny King comes back. But all in all, Will, I know we kind of discussed this in text messaging list that I kind of said, oh, that's a great start, and then it kind of went downhill, and then definitely kind of some peaks and valleys in the show. But real quick, before we pull the train to the station, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor Television, Will, would you keep watching? And are you intrigued for 2014?
I think it was a good start for the year. They just tried to shoehorn a little too much in there.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous. I don't like how they're kind of doing these tied. I was hoping that they let this turn, because we were so high on this tournament, letting it breathe. But
well, that's the thing with Ring of Honor, right? Is they don't want to clip a show together. So it's going to be like, oh, we're doing a taping here. So like, we're just going to have to shoehorn all these matches in.
Yeah, I wonder.
You know, I mean, what the other option would be, you get like one match per week, and then it's like, so that's, you have the four opening matches, and then you have all the semis. So like, you come out like 2 weeks worth of TV if you're doing like one match a week.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be seven matches spread out over 7 weeks, but you know, Andrew Everett's really good, so that'd be good to see him versus the romantic touch. But yeah, this Bill Daly guy, I mean, who gives a fuck about this guy? But I don't know. All in all, I think things are turning in the right direction.
Like I said, it looked good. They tried to get a lot of stories moving. Is it a little convoluted? Did we need both the two closing matches to have kind of like people running out and like running interference and like stirring shit up? It's like, yeah. But yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it was better than I thought. Because when you texted me that it's starting out good, because at the time I had only watched the first match, so I'm like, oh no, like I'm gonna get like road raged, and this gonna be like, all right, here's the rest of the card from Final Battle.
No, I think like you said last week, like I said with them showing the main event of Final Battle, I think we're good.
And then Elgin came out and the shitty powerbomb and the promo. I'm like, oh no. Yeah. But then it definitely picked. I mean, that second match with the whatever his name is and Corey Halls or whatever, it's like that. I could have done without that. That was not a good use of your hour time slot.
Yeah. Corey Halls versus Raymond Rose is going to be fun, though.
So. Yes.
But I think the tag team division is going to be spicing up here soon. So, yeah, that's the two – I mean, two – they're two biggest titles next week, so I don't know what they're going to do. So, it's going to be interesting. So, but, Will, I know you've had a long week. I've had a long week. Probably pull a train to the station here. But before we do, Will, is there anything else you'd like to put over for the kids out there, all the high fivers?
Just the usual stuff. Our wives, anybody who's listening, Visionary Global Media, Shining Wizards Network, and Tom.
Thank you, Will. So it's nice that now they can see you in person.
Rocking. That's right. Two weeks in a row, the camera's held up.
Rocking that neck breaker sweatshirt. So it's pretty fucking sweet.
Always.
Yeah, and I got my. I'm rocking my. I work from home here, so. Yeah, I'm not getting my hair cut till March. I'm just gonna let this fucker grow.
Go for it. Why not?
Yeah. So I don't really deal with the public till March. So even when I deal with the public at that point, I can just wear a fucking hat. So I might even go longer. So let's see what the wife says. So, no. But on that note, Will, thank you as always. You are the Oakland nominated host of this podcast, but appreciate all the info. Watch good movies, read good comic books, watch good wrestling, and I know we had a tagline that we used to do for the end of the show, and I forgot what the fuck it was, so yeah. Just press,
you know. See you next week.
Yeah, download, share, subscribe, all that happy horse shit, and we'll see everybody next week. I'm going to quit rambling, and thanks again, Will. Talk to you later next week, buddy.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.